Blog Talk Radio.
I love you, oh my God, I love you. I love you.
Welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host, Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter, who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Journey with Mary. Every week, we study closely one of the appearances of the Blessed Virgin Mary over the past 2,000 years. Sounds like a lot of time. How many times could she appear in that time? Well, closing in on 3,000 times in 2,000 years. But people out there are saying, nah, that can't be right. We would have heard about it. Yeah, if you're listening, if you know where to tune in and who to talk to, you would learn a lot. So most people don't believe because they hadn't heard about it, or it can't be. Just couldn't be. But, hey, people didn't start this. She started appearing to them. They were surprised. They didn't expect it. They didn't even sometimes know who she was. So they eventually learned it was her. And it wasn't just in France or Spain or Italy. No, China, Russia, Vietnam, Australia, India, you know, Saudi Arabia, Lebanon, Africa, South America, all over the world. Okay, so all those people could just make it up and make it up exactly alike? Not likely. Even scientific method proves that such patterns repeating at such incredible tale and similarity over such a period of time in so many different cultures and countries would be next to impossible to duplicate in such a manner, unless it was real. So we have science that says it's real. We have credible witnesses who say it's real. We have doctors and psychiatrists who are saying it's got to be real. They even concluded that there was a supernatural presence of which only these visionaries could see and hear that was present before them. That was a scientific conclusion. So everyone's thinking, well, why Mary? How come Mary? Is she a goddess? No. She's the mother of Jesus. Oh, well, she's a mother. So what? No, wait a minute. How many of you gave birth to the Son of God? Only one, Mary. And she's the Queen of Heaven because the mother of the King of Heaven is automatically the Queen Mother of Heaven. And she cares for all her children given to her while Jesus was on the cross saying, behold your mother. Yes. So there's many out there who don't study this carefully, don't read the Bible carefully, and they just assume that we're all infatuated and obsessed with Mary for no good reason. We honor her and all that she's doing for us because she's our mother and because she is appearing close to 2,700 times now on record. And I know of some that's not even on record that are pretty credible and unbelievable, but amazing to hear. So what this show does is try to take a close look at these events, bring the best details to you, so you can make up your own mind what you believe. I hope that you believe these things are real. I hope that you will find the patterns and details fascinating, the messages inspirational, and the whole chain of events is quite impressive. But you got to listen. You got to tune in. You got to be here. You got to ask other people to come and learn along with you because this is a very important subject. Truly, the Mother of God is coming to us. We need to listen. Heaven is always aware of what we're doing. If you don't think so, good luck with that. But heaven is definitely always tuned in to everything that we do, say, and feel. And Mary is our mother. So we honor her, and we honor these stories of her coming to us, bringing us information, predicting things. And as far as I can tell, she's never been wrong in a prediction yet. So, of course, how could she? God tells her what to say. So she can't get it wrong. All right, so let's bring on my co-host, Mr. Donald Hartley, so we can further examine this amazing subject.
Well, you go back to 1 Kings chapter 2, and you go to verse 16. I'm going to 16, basically, where Solomon's mother, Bathsheba, she went to, this is verse 19, just to go into it. She went to speak to her son, who would be King Solomon, to speak on behalf of his brother Adonijah. And the king stood up to meet her and paid her homage. And when we say homage here, we're meaning honor and respect. Does not mean necessarily worship here. And then he sat down upon his throne, and a throne was provided for who? The king's wife? Nada, the king's mother, who sat at his right hand, And this is where it begins with right there. And then you go to Psalms 45, and you see who the king is in Psalms 45, going from verses 1 through 9. In fact, you got the book of Hebrews actually quoting verbatim this prophecy that King David makes of Jesus, the Son, who is the King of Kings and God, Lord of Lords. And then it refers to his mother. That I think is very interesting. You go to verse 9. With myrrh and aloes and cassia, your robes are fragrant from ivory places or palaces. String music brings you joy. And the daughters of kings come to meet you. The queen, that would be the mother, stands and takes her place at your right hand. And you go and you understand that from that perspective of Song of Songs, chapter 6, verse 10, who is this that comes forth like the dawn, as beautiful as the moon, as splendid as the sun, as awe-inspiring as bannered troops. And you just kind of go on and on and on and understand this. So when the angel Gabriel appears to Mary in Luke chapter 1, 26 through 35, you'll see that the angel refers to Jesus, to name him Jesus, and that he would be the son of David. And so Mary, that would make Mary queen, as you rightfully put out. And also we got John the Virginian that is Hopper. I know that he's dying to get into this conversation. How you doing there, John?
Yeah, we're doing battle with a anti-Catholic and anti-Mary Catholic. And, you know, one of the things, one of the proof texts that they use against us, and, of course, they, you know, misinterpret it, take it out of context, they attempt to use against us is in Luke chapter 11, when, setting the scene, Jesus is out and about, and they come to him and say, hey, your mother and your brothers and sisters are here to see you. And Jesus says, who is my mother? Who are my brothers and sisters? Behold, the one who does the will of God, the one who hears the word of God and obeys, is my mother and my brother and my sisters. And the Protestants point to that. They see, Jesus is saying there's nothing special about his mother. His mother's just like anybody else who does the will of God. Well, no, that's not exactly what Jesus is saying there. Because all Jesus is doing there is echoing Elizabeth's words to Mary. Blessed are you who heard the word of God and obeyed. Jesus is singling her out and saying that those of you who do the word of God will be my brother and sister, but also my mother will be your mother. And to prove this, this is proven in multiple points in Scripture, and you already alluded to one of them, Donald, because you go back to 1 Kings chapter 2, and who was it that was approaching the queen mother? It was Adonijah, the brother of the king. So the brother, the queen mother, the two sons of the queen mother are the person who is making intercession to the queen and the king who the intercession is made to. Well, that's us. We are the brothers and sisters of Christ. And in John 19:26, Jesus says this to John. He says, "Woman, behold your son, and son, behold your mother." And then we see it again in the chapter of Revelation, 12th chapter of Revelation, which harkens back to the third chapter of Genesis. So the third chapter of Genesis, second chapter of Kings, okay, 11th chapter of Luke, 19th chapter of John, and the 12th chapter of Revelation tell us all the same thing, that the mother of Jesus is our mother.
Amen.
Well said.
Amen.
Yes.
And we got also Mike from New Jersey. How you doing there, Mike?
Well, hello there. You know, I almost wanted to put your theme song behind you a few minutes ago.
You know, the show is going so well, Mike. It was going
what?
So well. The show is going so well.
Oh, I know. I know. Well, then I had to put this on.
Hey, I tell you what.
What's that?
We are in a position where we're doing so many good things. Deeper Truth is just on the cutting edge on all this stuff. You know, I was born in 1956, the year that Johnny Cash came out with I Walk the Line, and I've been walking the line ever since. And John, he's from Virginia. But, John, you weren't always from Virginia, though, actually. Are you actually from New Jersey or Virginia? Where are you actually originating from?
Virginia. And then I moved to New Jersey for about 10 years and then moved back to Virginia.
So then it's rightful to say that you are John the Virginian then, for real. I mean, you
yes.
are.
Yes.
I thought
okay.
you were going to say you were in New Jersey for about 10 minutes.
Same thing. Well, 10 minutes in New Jersey seems like 10 years, but
is that how that works? Well, I got a question
yeah.
for you.
The question
yeah.
is, who let the dog out?
hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Mike, what's the difference between New Jersey girls and garbage?
The bag.
I have no idea.
No, garbage gets picked up.
Oh.
Hey, John. John,
yeah.
Since you kind of went there, why do they separate the honeydew from the watermelon in your local grocery store where you get all your, not just all your food, but where you get all your fruits and vegetables and stuff?
I can't wait to hear this. What's the answer?
They separate the honeydew from the watermelon, as John Carpenter will afford and tell you, being that he's a psychiatrist. You know, he works in that particular. He will tell you that they are trying to prevent the watermelon and the waterdew, the honeydew, from going out and cantaloupe.
But they can't. But they can't.
John, save us. Can you save us from this?
Yeah, back to Mary.
Deliver us from this, okay?
Yeah. Well, a little ADHD here, I guess. Everybody went all over the place, but we're going to bring it back now. And tonight we're going to Nicaragua in Central America. Nicaragua, and the city is Cuapa, C-U-A-P-A, Cuapa. Nicaragua, and the year is 1980. We're getting always closer to the present with each week. And it begins with a visionary named Bernardo Martinez. He was a 50-year-old guy, and on April 15th, 1980, as a sacristan, he witnessed the statue of Mary in the chapel light up on its own. Now, recently, the sacristy lights had mysteriously illuminated on two other occasions. Thinking that Mary might be mad at him for arguing with others, he set out to seek forgiveness from those people. They laughed at his story and ridiculed him. He begged the Virgin Mary to not request anything more of him because it was causing him troubles. He even avoided going near the shrine. Well, Bernardo was close to his breaking point, both physically and emotionally, due to illness, being out of work, and not being able to care for his family well. To cheer himself up, he went to the river to fish. When it began to rain around 1 o'clock, he decided to sit under a tree and wait. He dozed for a short time, but woke with a start and an unexplained fear. So he decided to pray the rosary. By 3 o'clock p.m., nice time of day, 3 o'clock p.m., he decided to gather his fish and head home. Returning from this fishing trip on May 8th, 1980, Bernardo saw two lightning flashes. Oh, just like Fatima.
Yeah.
Two flashes of lightning. And on the second flash, the Virgin Mary appeared to him. He felt immobilized and could not run or yell. Interesting fact, since most visionaries feel immobilized. But he was surprised that he felt no fear. He thought that he might just be envisioning the same statue in his mind and perhaps was dreaming. But when he passed his hand over his eyes and looked again, he saw that she had human skin and eyes that moved and blinked. She is alive, he thought to himself, because his tongue would not move to speak. He felt numb. His lower jaw and tongue were stiff as if asleep. His whole body was immobilized. Only his thoughts in his mind could be active. She was so beautiful, wearing a long white dress and bare feet resting upon an extremely white cloud. She had a celestial cord around her waist, long sleeves, and a veil of a pale cream color with gold embroidery covering her. She extended her arms, and rays of light stronger than the sun emanated from her hands. The rays touched his chest, and he was able to speak again. So he asked her name. She answered me with the sweetest voice I have ever heard from any woman, sweeter than the softest voice. He saw her move her lips and say her name was Mary. He knew she was alive and real, because she actually responded to him. And here's what they said. Bernardo said, "Where do you come from?" Mary replied, "I come from heaven. I am the mother of Jesus." Bernardo says, "What is it that you want?" Mary replies, "I want the rosary to be prayed every day." Bernardo, Yes, we are praying it. The priest brought us the intentions of the San Francisco parish so that we would unite ourselves with them." Mary says, "I don't want the rosary prayed only in the month of May. I want it to be prayed permanently within the family, including the children old enough to understand, to be prayed at a set hour where there are no problems with the work in the home. Love each other. Fulfill your obligations. Make peace. Don't ask our Lord for peace, because if you do not make it, there will be no peace. Renew the 5 first Saturdays. You received many graces when all of you did this." Okay, I'm going to stop right there, even though more is coming on here, and just get any reactions. There's a lot of description there from her appearance to this message. Any reactions?
Well, I'm looking at Daniel chapter 10, beginning with verse 4. "On the 24th day of the first month, I was on the bank of the great river, the Tigris. As I looked up, I saw a man dressed in linen, with a belt of fine gold around his waist. His body was like chrysolite. His face shone like lightning. His eyes were like fiery torches. His arms and feet looked like burnished bronze, and his voice sounded like the roar of a multitude. I alone, Daniel, saw the vision, but great fear seized the men who were with me. They fled and hid themselves, although they did not see the vision. So I was left alone seeing this great vision. No strength remained in me. I turned the color of death and was powerless. When I heard the sound of his voice, I fell face forward in a faint. And I just thought I'd share that because of what you just said and how he was when, I mean, this is typical, but it's also biblical. I think
that's very fascinating.
Good.
Yes,
you know,
it is.
So I just wanted to share that piece of it. And there's just so much of that. I could talk about all of it, but I thought let's get John in to see if he had a perspective on that. What did you think of that, John?
Well, I was just going to say that you were talking about the five First Saturday devotions. This is something that I just completed, and I highly recommend it. It's worthwhile. It's worthwhile to do it. That and obviously the nine First Saturdays, but that's a whole different ball of wax. That's with Margaret Mary Alico at the Sacred Heart. But I just finished the first five Saturdays at the beginning of this month.
Very good. Very good.
And John, Mike, the New Jerseyan, do you have a thought on that? Anything?
Well, not especially. It's kind of interesting that Mary follows a pattern. You can see you can see it. It's pretty obvious.
Yep. And I love the description. The first major description was, she's so beautiful. We hear that, and people say that.
Yeah, where have we heard that before?
Yeah, every single time. It's like the first thing they utter. And then, of course, she's in a bright light, and, of course, she's wearing white and gold embroidery, and this time barefooted. But also, another rare but common description is her voice. Sweetest voice he's ever heard. In my first book, I made a comparison with about 14 or 15 different apparitions about how everyone is describing the sweet, almost musical voice, and they can't even imitate it. They say it's just so unique. And here again, he says, just the sweetest, most special little voice, coming from her. So
I remember the Fusion that Pope, I think it was Pius the 13th had. Was it Pius?
Leo.
Leo the 13th.
Was that Leo?
I'm sorry, Leo the 13th had the locution, and it was interesting that he remarked that he heard two voices, and the one voice was the most gentle and pure voice that he ever heard was the voice of Jesus. And the other voice was guttural and vulgar and it's just interesting how even the voice is purified in heaven. Even the voice is, I'm not expressing it very well, but you understand what I'm getting at? And it just purifies everything.
Yeah.
Everything is clean and pure and even the voice.
Think of
this,
where Psalms 45, verse 12, so shall the king, which is referring to Jesus here, so shall Jesus desire your beauty, referring to Mary. So put it in perspective. So shall Jesus desire your beauty, Mary. And think about that. How many sons get to choose and pick their mother?
Right, but it just goes to show how myopic some of these anti-Catholics are. They're so myopic in their view of trying to superimpose human things on heavenly things. And they come to these conclusions, and then they try to superimpose those conclusions on us. So when we say that Mary is the Queen of Heaven, oh, so that means you think that she's equal to Jesus. Well, where did you get that? She's Queen of Heaven,
right.
By virtue of her biblical office in the kingdom of David.
Right.
When we say that she's the Mother of God, oh, well, that must mean that she is God or she's greater than God. And I'm reading from this book that I received, and these are the accusations that are being made. Well, if she's the Mother of God, well, then she must be God, because a human couldn't possibly give birth to God. That's impossible. And my response to that, well, is of course it's impossible. That's why it's called a miracle. That's why it's called the incarnation. But without
right.
that miracle, your Christian faith is meaningless. Because I had a person, you know, said to me, well, Mary gave birth to the human Jesus. Mary gave birth to Jesus' humanity, to his human body. Oh, really? Show me in the Bible where it says that. I don't see anything in there that says that. Mary gave birth to a person. Jesus is not a pizza. He's a person. And that person is fully human and fully divine. And if he's not, we're in a lot of trouble because the crucifixion and the resurrection didn't do anything for us.
Well, think about St. Luke.
St.
Luke was a doctor at Calvary. St. Luke was a doctor at Calvary, and he made it very clear the importance that Mary was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, that he has no earthly father. So Jesus' father is what is important in this very story right here. And I think it's interesting, again, go back to verse 12. So the king shall desire your beauty, for he is your Lord, and you must worship him. And
right.
that's referring to Mary and her
exactly.
son.
Exactly. John, how many of these apparitions have you studied?
101.
101. And of that 101, exactly how many does Mary claim to be a goddess?
None.
Zero?
Zero.
Zero. Right.
Yep.
And yet they keep making this claim. They keep erecting this straw man that we believe that Mary's a goddess. We believe no such thing.
Well, the problem is they have not studied the information. They're passing assumptions and judgments and then thinking that they've got us by the throat with their misinformed and scholarly, non-academic approach to the whole thing.
Yeah.
Whereas
John,
that'll work. Yes.
Archbishop Fulton Sheen, in his Life of Christ, says this: Eve's curse that a woman would bring forth children in sorrow was now fulfilled, and not by the opening of a womb, but by the piercing of a heart, as Simeon had foretold. It was the greatest of all honors to be the mother of Christ, but it was also a great honor to be the mother of Christians. There was no room in the inn for that first birth, but Mary had the whole world for her second.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, I love that. And the line that puts the exclamation point on the end of what you just said there, Mike, is the scripture that's where Simeon says to Mary, and a sword will pierce your soul so that the hearts of many will be revealed. Now, this is Simeon talking to Mary, not to Jesus, okay? Because Jesus is just a little baby at this point. Simeon's talking to Mary and said, and a sword will pierce your soul through which the hearts of many will be revealed. So here it is right here in Scripture.
Right.
That the hearts of many will be revealed by Mary.
Yeah, there you go.
Not only that, John, also you go, and I'm going back to Psalms 45 again because there's so much detail here. Verse 13, and the city of Tyre is here with gifts. And think about this. The rich among the people seek your favor. Think about that. The rich among the people seeks her favor.
And that is exactly what happened in the Old Testament. That is exactly what happened. The kings from the other countries would make their appeals to the queen mother, and she would have audience with the king on their behalf. That's the way that it works.
Intercessory.
Uh-huh. Exactly. So I actually had a Protestant friend of mine recently that said, you know, I can understand your argument. And he said, and it also actually kind of makes sense. He said, and I don't think there's anything anti-biblical against what you're saying. He said, but I would just draw the line on saying that you have to do it that way. I said, well, I'm going to disagree with you. He says, well, why? I said, okay, so just imagine this, John. Just imagine that I hired you for a new job, or I hired you for some project, whatever the project may be. And I took you into the factory and brought you down the assembly line and went through, okay, these are the procedures. This is how this is done. Watch how this person over here does it. Study everything that they do. And you study everything that the person does. Does it go without saying that my expectation is that you're going to observe and then you're going to do the same?
Yep.
So we've been shown the process. The process is that the brother of the king, that's you and me, goes to the mother of the king, that's Mary, and ask her to intercede the template that we've been given. So
that's right.
If that's the template that we've been given, that's the expectation that's been laid on us that we are supposed to follow. At least that's how I see it.
John, let me ask you
a question. John, you go to verse 18 here, and this is in the NAB. It could be verse 17 in another version, but it's all the same. Here's what it says. I will make your name memorable through all generations. Therefore shall nations praise you forever and ever, referring to Our Lady. Now, mm-hmm. John, who is the I here? Your name.
The I is God.
There you go.
And therefore all generations shall call me blessed.
Yeah.
And you know,
exactly.
People say, why do you go to Mary rather than God? Well, that's a false dilemma. Okay. And the argument that I use is when I go to the internet or I read a magazine or I read a book, people say, well, why do you put on your glasses? Why are you looking at your glasses rather than looking at the book? Well, because I can't see and understand the book without the glasses, because the glasses magnify what I'm reading. Well, what did Mary say of herself? My soul doth magnify the Lord. She's the pair of glasses.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
All right.
The specs.
So
yeah.
We're getting back to our story. It's a good discussion, but we're here to process this story. So
pull us back.
Mary added that prayers should not be rushed or said in a mechanical fashion. She told Bernardo to read the Bible passages that go along with the mysteries of the rosary. Then she says, quote, Nicaragua has suffered much since the earthquake. Remember, this is 1980. Nicaragua is threatened with even more suffering. She will continue to suffer if you don't change. Pray, my son, the rosary for all the world. Tell believers and non-believers that the world is threatened by grave dangers. I ask the Lord to appease his justice, but if you don't change, you will hasten the arrival of a third world war. Bernardo replies, Lady, I don't want problems. I have many in the church. Tell this to someone else. See, not all visionaries are thrilled to be in that role. You know, Juan Diego said the same thing. I can't do this. Get someone else. Anyway, Mary says, and this is very important.
Interestingly,
says,
John, that Moses and Peter also said the same thing.
There you go. That's right.
Yeah, talk this about
shows
passing
you how,
the buck.
Shows you how human they were. I think if Mary appeared to me and says, John, I want you to do this, I might say, oh, I'm pretty busy. But no, I wouldn't tell her no. But here's what Mary says about that. Remember, he says, tell this to another person. And she says, no, because our Lord has selected you to give this message. Now, note, she didn't say, I picked you. She says, our Lord has selected you to give this message.
Right.
Well, Bernardo was frightened to spread Mary's message because of the persecution he had endured earlier. He kept the vision to himself for 8 days until Mary appeared again. Mary says, why have you not told what I sent you to tell? And Bernardo says, lady, it is that I am afraid. I'm afraid of being the ridicule of the people, afraid that they will laugh at me, that they will not believe me. Those who will not believe this will laugh at me. They will say I'm crazy. Mary said, do not be afraid. I am going to help you and tell the priest. Okay, so Bernardo described Mary looking upward toward heaven, and the cloud that held her slowly elevated her. She was in a ray of light, and when she reached a certain height, she disappeared. So Bernardo began telling Bull and his priest. You can imagine how that went. Hold on a second here. And they encouraged him to keep sharing with others what he had witnessed. On June 8th, a month later, Mary appeared again, giving him four visions, which he said were like, quote, movies in the sky. The first vision was of the first Christians singing and marching towards heaven. They were dressed in white, their bodies glowing with light. The second vision was of another group of people also dressed in white. They held illuminated rosaries in their hands. The leader read from a book, and after meditating on the reading, they prayed an Our Father and 10 Hail Marys. Mary explained that they were the first ones to whom she had given the rosary. She wanted everyone to pray the rosary like they were doing it. In the third vision, Bernardo saw a group of men dressed in brown robes. Mary explained that these were the Franciscans. Quote, they received the rosary from the hands of the first ones, unquote. And in the fourth vision, he saw a large group, as big as an army, of people in normal dress, all holding rosaries. Light radiated from their bodies, and they were beautiful. He wanted to join them and go with them. But even though he was not illuminated yet himself, I think he's seen visions of heaven. From my research in heaven, it's exactly how they describe people with light coming from their bodies and dressed in robes. But Mary says this to him, even though he wants to go, no. You are still lacking. You have to tell the people what you have seen and heard. I have shown you the glory of our Lord, and you people will acquire this if you are obedient to our Lord, to the Lord's word. If you persevere in praying the Holy Rosary and put into practice the Lord's word. Well, Bernardo only shared these visions with the priest, knowing that the church must approve them first. The priest gave Bernardo approval and permission to spread the visions. On July 8th, another month later, in 1980, an angel presented him with a vision of a prophecy. The angel told Bernardo to tell a certain woman how and when her brother would get released from jail because he was innocent. He had a message for another woman regarding her alcoholic father and brother and her own problems teaching in a communist school. And finally, the angel foretold that his own cousin would be assaulted and later killed. All of these prophecies came to pass exactly as the angel had described. And then on October 13th, of course, the miracle of the sun anniversary, in 1980, on the feast of Our Lady of Fatima, a large glowing circle appeared above the ground in front of 50 people that had gathered to say the Holy Rosary. Everyone saw the light that came from the sky, a single ray, like a powerful spotlight that illuminated the circle in front of them. And the people noticed that a circle had also formed in the sky. It was like a ring around the sun, but it's not the sun. The circle began to radiate all the colors of the rainbow at exactly 3 p.m., which danced about the sky. Quote, it was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. One could feel a small breeze that moved softly, pleasant, like a fresh shower, but which did not wet us. While we observed this, we were silent and continued seeing that circle of light, which gave off colored lights from the exact center where the sun is at 12 noon. All of a sudden, a lightning flash, the same as the other times. Then a second flash. I lowered my eyes, and I saw the lady. She appeared on her little cloud, which rested above a pile of flowers that the group had brought. She extended her hands and rays of light reached out to everyone, causing some to cry with joy. Bernardo begged her to appear to all of those present as they did not believe in his vision. Mary's face became pale and her clothes turned gray, now appearing as Our Lady of Sorrows. And she said, quote, saddens me to see the hardness of those persons' hearts, but you will have to pray for them so that they will change. Pray the rosary, meditate on the mysteries, listen to the word of God spoken in them, love one another, love each other, forgive each other, make peace. Don't ask for peace without making peace. Because if you don't make it, it does no good to ask for it. Fulfill your obligations. Put into practice the word of God. God, serve your neighbor as that you will please him. They ask of me things that are unimportant. Ask for faith in order to have strength so that each can carry his own cross. The suffering of this world cannot be removed. That is the way life is. There are problems with the husband, problems with the wife, with the children, with the brothers. Talk, converse, so that the problems will be resolved in peace. Do not turn to violence. Never turn to violence. Pray for faith in order that you will have patience. You will no longer see me in this place. Bernardo says, don't leave us, my mother. Don't leave us, my mother. Please, don't leave us, my mother. Mary responded, do not be grieved. I am with all of you, even though you do not see me. I am the mother of all you sinners. Love one another. Forgive each other. Make peace. Pray, pray, my son, for all the world. Grave dangers threaten the world. The mother never forgets children. And I have not forgotten what you suffer. Invoke me with these words. Holy Virgin, you are my mother. the mother to all of us sinners. As she departed, the little cloud seemed to be pushing her back up to heaven. At this, the messages from Mary were completed. These six apparitions were officially approved by the church in 1982, and shortly after that, Bernardo Martinez was ordained as a priest. The local bishop, Monsignor Vega, published his approval of these apparitions on November 13th, 1983. And a footnote, most of the 202,000 Nicaraguans who reside in the United States fled to this country in the 1980s when the brutal war in Nicaragua broke out between the Sandinistas and the Contras. And that is part of why she came at that time, because that was about to happen there.
Wow. We got Kathy, I believe it's from Jefferson City. Am I correct, Kathy, that you're from Jefferson City?
Yes.
What do you think of that story that John was revealing and sharing here?
Pretty amazing. Yeah.
Oh, it is very amazing.
Very typical, too, of Mary. Very typical. Pray, pray, pray.
You know, yes, it's interesting when you talk of... Go ahead there, Kathy.
I was going to just say that with her messages from the Miraculous Metal Shrine in Perryville, Missouri, it's always pray, pray, pray.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, it was pretty interesting, the conversation between Mary and Bernardo. He was pretty typically human, like, you know, kind of scared, kind of worried, feeling, you know, like he's got the weight of all this to have to pass on, and people aren't believing him and making fun of him. But it was cool that she provided through Jesus a miracle on October 13th. With a ray of light and a circle of light, and they're all praying the rosary while this is happening. They all saw it, so they did get some supernatural proof that she was really making these appearances.
Uh-huh.
I think it's interesting about Our Lady, well, you know, Mount Carmel. It was at the 3 o'clock hour that Elijah called upon the Lord to burn that offering. And that's just very similar, I think, that the 3 o'clock hour was when Jesus was actually, that's when he suffered on the cross and died, the 3 o'clock
right.
hour. There's something significant about the three.
Yeah, it comes
the
up
3 o'clock
a lot
hour.
In these apparitions. Almost every week we hear something to do with 3 o'clock. So pretty amazing, but not surprising to me. Very consistent.
What do you think about this whole thing about climate change? Do you think that climate change, if there's anything to it, would be because of our disobedience, not because
yes.
of fuels and any of that? Can you imagine if Mike was to go to his governor tell him that the reason why there's any issues out there, it's because of you're allowing people, homosexuals, to marry and abortion and killing people, children up until live birth, you know, you don't think that this can cause havoc in the atmosphere? You know, pretty amazing stuff. What do you think about that, Mike?
Well, I'm one of the things that I marvel about is the change of attitudes in a very short time. I've got two clips of two songs I'm going to play for you back to back. One of them is by Gary U.S. Bonds called Schools Out. The other one is by Alice Cooper called Schools Out. Take a listen. Thank you.
kind of hard to understand.
Well, one says school is out at last and I'm so glad I passed. That's Gary U.S. Bonds back in the 1950s. In the 1960s, Alice Cooper, school is blown to pieces. That was before any of the school shootings took place.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, guys, we're going the wrong way.
I can top that one, Mike.
You can. Okay.
How many of you remember the 1984 and 85? It started with the group Band-Aid. They did the song "Do They Know It's Christmas." That was the fundraiser for the famine in Ethiopia, and then the Americans followed the next year with "We Are the World." You all remember that, right?
Yeah, I remember those two.
Yeah, I remember that.
Right. So Bob Geldof was the person who spearheaded all of that. He was actually nominated for the Nobel Prize. Bob Geldof's claim to fame, first claim to fame, was a song called "I Don't Like Mondays." And it's a true story. It's a song based on a true story from the 1980s of a girl who walked into the classroom. This was basically the first time that this had ever happened, the first one of its kind, walked into a classroom in San Diego and killed all of her schoolmates. And when they asked her, "Why did you do this horrific crime?" she said, "I don't like Mondays." And that was really when school shootings, was after that when school shootings started to pick up and escalate and become more and more common. That was her answer. "I don't like Mondays." And that was the first song by Bob Geldof and the Boomtown Rats that was a hit of any size. And he later on became the guy that did the entire fundraising movement for the Ethiopian famine.
Well, these are problems.
Never heard that.
Yeah, I kind of recall some of it. John, where are we going to next week?
We are going to Spain, and the years are 1980 through 1992, and a place called El Escorial, Spain, for a very little-known story with a lot of powerful messages and very interesting stuff. So another gem, of course, and another awesome story.
John, that ought to be interesting. I've never been to Spain, but I've been to Oklahoma.
I'm sorry.
He's channeling Three Dog
Arizona.
Night now.
Three Dog Night, yeah.
We'll keep
you
safe in Spain.
And no, if you're not at least, if you're not hooked up around that volcano that's been going on over there the past several weeks, that's pretty wild.
You know what's really sad? What's really sad, Mike, is that all of us were old enough to get that joke. That's really sad.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, John, I wanted to make one more comment on the last thing that you said, if I could.
Sure.
It's just where she says, "Don't pray for peace unless you're bringing peace." And that is just the most difficult balance in the world. To try and find out when you're not doing enough and when you're doing too much, especially peace in the families. And she's making it very, very clear that you must pray, but then there must be action following the prayer. But to even know what the action is supposed to be requires the prayer. And it's just interesting how this just displays, it's not like God is not like a genie in a lamp that you rub on it and tell him what you want, and it's great. There's an interplay that we're connected. We send up, we receive back. We send up, we receive back. And it's like a completed circuit And
yep.
Few people understand that, really get that. And it's one of the most difficult things to decipher. And sometimes you feel absolutely confused. What is it that God wants me to do? What is it that he doesn't want me to do?
Well, you're right. Prayer helps you find out. You may think it's your idea. You may think it's just a whimsical thought, but often it will come to you in those prayers. And that's your inspiration to maybe approach that person, have a talk, or do something. But she's right. You know, if we just sit back and wait for the magic genie to fix it all, it doesn't work that way. And she's right. We've got to make our effort. Heaven will help. Heaven will always be paying attention and help where it can, but we've got to make an effort.
Yeah.
If we don't make any effort, then heaven's supposed to do it all? No.
And I agree with you. I agree with you, John, but sometimes the point I was making is sometimes you go all the way in other extreme, and we're trying to solve everything our way without heaven's involvement. So we go one extreme or the other sometimes.
Sure. Sure.
But I like what James says about that. You go to James chapter 1, beginning with verse 22. He says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his own face in a mirror. He sees himself, then goes off and promptly forgets what he looks like. But the one who peers into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres and is not a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, such a one shall be blessed in what he does." Mm-hmm. So there has to be that, you know, yes, we are to hear the word and then we're to act upon it. And
yeah,
I
got to do a better job with that persevering part. I got to work on that. That's always a problem for me.
Well,
all right.
But we're going to Spain.
Yep.
Spain.
All right. And before we close out, as always, we like to ask everyone out there around the world to pray with us and say a Hail Mary. It may not seem like much, but with all of our voices around the world saying it in unison, there's no way heaven won't notice. And we hope that it may help to show heaven that we, as citizens of the earth, are doing our best to honor our Blessed Mother with this Hail Mary. Join with me now. Hail Mary.
Hail Mary.
Full of grace.
Full of grace.
The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary.
Mother of God,
pray for us sinners
now and at the hour of our death.
Amen.
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 In the name of the Father and Son and the
Amen.
Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And may everyone
Amen.
Out there be blessed, and we're so glad that you tuned in. Please join us next week and bring a friend. Tell someone about it. If you want them to hear it tonight, you can always check in the archives. Every show we do is recorded forever. And you can access it. Sometimes the easiest way is just to Google Blog Talk Radio Deeper Truth Journey with Mary and put in today's date, and it'll pop right up. I think that's all I have to say.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to end this with a song by Penny Warner, who is in. I met her this past week doing these speaking engagements in Missouri. She also has an album out called Love Chaplet, and she has Donna Corey Gibson with her, and some others notables, which I thought was very interesting. So that's what we began the show with Penny. And then I will end the song here with Penny. So God bless you all, and have a great evening, and we'll see you tomorrow night is the Eucharistic Miracles with Dr. Gregory Thompson. God bless you all.
God bless.
And good night.
Night.
path of life can be so rocky. They look around, it's all so shocking. Lost seems to see no hope. Trepidatious and abandoned. There is a way to show them.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show, an in-depth examination of the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host has been John Carpenter, an expert on more than 90 confirmed apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Be sure to join us again as we examine another Marian apparition in depth, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.